Hi, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Physical 100 Season 2. We have episodes 3 and 4. The crowd is thinning, and some of our early favorites are already leaving. We hardly knew ye, Amati. We get more one-on-ones and a new challenge. It's amazing what these athletes can do. Let's get into it. So, Juliet, good morning.
Good morning.
It's actually almost afternoon.
Well, we're still both husbandless. How are you surviving?
It's degenerated to a point where we're eating Spam fried rice for breakfast. I have no food in my house. Who has time to grocery shop? I had to go down to the emergency earthquake stash. We don't do Spam often, but I have emergency packs in my garage for an earthquake or a pandemic. So I went down there and I got some Spam and I made a kimchi Spam fried rice.
That sounds lovely. That sounds very delicious.
Except I try to make it healthy. So I throw in, you know, like frozen veggies.
Yeah.
So I put in the frozen pea, corn, green bean. And my daughter's like, Dad doesn't make kimchi fried rice with peas in it. I was like, well, Dad's not here. And we are in survival mode.
Well, this is actually way better for you.
We forget how much our partners help keep us on track in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, over here, there's been a lot of sweets and a lot of television. I'm like, become very permissive. It's funny because normally I'm the one that puts the kibosh on things, but strangely, when my husband's not around, I just like all rules have gone out the door. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Whatever will just appease them in that moment. And like, fine. Just do it.
It's easier to let it happen than to
But
argue.
Also because nobody is keeping me in check. There's like a higher expectation for myself when my husband is around. Like I have to parent in a certain way. But when he's not around, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Nobody's watching.
Eat the chocolate. The first thing in the morning, go ahead.
Yeah. We're husband judgment free, which is
liberating.
But it's become a little Lord of the Flies over here. And we've resorted to paying my older daughter $5 to watch your
littlest. Don't tell the other kids that because they think that she's their friend.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Yeah, your littlest is like, oh, my honey's here to play with me.
She's
no,
so excited. Girl. Meanwhile, all the older one can think is, cha-ching, cha-ching.
She's like, okay, you can have a blueberry because I'm going to get $5 for this. Others are also barely surviving.
Truly, it actually breaks my heart how little screen time these people get.
Yes.
And how attached I get to some people and so quickly they leave.
We spent episode 2 watching a lot of one-on-one deathmatch challenges in the arenas. They're culling from 100 contestants down to 50 in one episode, basically.
Right.
It's such a production to get 50 of these matches done in one day. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, that must be hours of them. And you have to stand and watch all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You can't be like prepping in the gym or like taking a rest.
Right. We enter episode 3 with MMA King and Emmanuel.
Yes, who we have now learned is Nigerian. We thought maybe he was American, but I am shocked at how many foreigners can speak Korean so well.
Yeah, it's very admirable.
Yes, so I encourage you to go out and...
You know, I can read.
Actually, I did go to Norebang with you.
Yes.
To the karaoke room, and I was shocked when you were reading the words because I don't think I've ever seen you do that.
I can read actually pretty quickly.
Yeah, you can read quickly.
Yeah, so when I'm in Seoul, all I do is just
you
read.
You can read, but yeah, you're not.
Yeah, I don't know the words.
Comprehending, yeah.
I don't know. There's something, you know, I should know more Korean. I should be understanding most conversations between friends because I'm around it so much. I watch all these TV shows. There might be just
you
a block.
You have subconsciously decided
it's not for me.
Not to learn it. This is a fascinating topic. It's not relevant to me, but I see it in other people's lives when you're in an interracial relationship and you have in-laws who only speak their language and you don't understand them. There is actually a great...
It's like a barrier.
A separation. Yeah. I mean, like a healthy separation.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, speak way better Korean than my husband does. And so I have basically taken on the role of the culture of communicating with his parents, right? And it's been great. I think actually they appreciate me and my, obviously my husband appreciates me because I am I become the liaison between the two parties. But imagine if I didn't speak, then I wouldn't have to live up to the expectations, oh, right?
That's 100% my world. Yeah. Yeah. So I still, though, could pretend.
You could be like, nah.
I don't have the expectation on me, but I could also just learn it. Like, there is something valuable right. to learning.
It's not that, actually not that hard. I don't think Korean language is that hard to learn.
But I think there's like just like a block. It's an interracial marriage block. But I do think also just as a Chinese American who's like barely hanging on to the little Mandarin I know.
Right.
My kids know zero Mandarin. I don't have really a mother country. I don't go back ever. And so I think
it would be such an affront to your, you know, the generations before you to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to delve any more into the Mandarin. And I'm just going to learn the inferior language.
It feels like a defection. I would learn French and Spanish before Korean.
Yeah.
Which is such an insane thing because I literally live with a Korean speaker. I could learn it so quickly.
Such an imperialist point of view.
There's just too much pride wrapped up in it, I think. Do we know if these foreigners are fully embraced in Korea? I know it's not racism.
I think Korea has actually probably been more racist to foreigners than Japan. Japan had opened their doors very early in history. Korea has been pretty homogenous until relatively recently. Mm-hmm. However, I saw an article that said that one in maybe 10 relationships in Korea right now are interracial.
What? But you guys have had an American army base
That's
there
right.
for 50 plus years now.
I don't even think the interracial relationships now are with the soldiers. It is with people who are obsessed with Korean culture. There's also a number of Southeast Asian people who are immigrating as blue-collar workers. I think the sentiment has changed a lot in the last, I would say, 20, 30 years.
Yeah. We're seeing it in these reality shows. Reality show has, right. I mean, a quote-unquote non-Korean, which they call foreigners, but a person who is not of Korean origin, but speaks Korean very well.
Yeah. Anyway, going back to Emmanuel.
Yeah.
He really gave
MMA
King a run for his money. Man, that was amazing. He was so strong.
MMA King chose him because he looked strong and looked like a worthy opponent. But I was wondering, did MMA King also choose him because he is the one foreigner in the room that actually like doesn't know who he is? You know, if MMA King were to lose to a Korean in the room, would it have been more of a loss of face? Like all these other Koreans really look up to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly the top dog in this room. And so if he were to like pick a Korean opponent, even another MMA guy, and lose to them, that would be a bigger loss of face than to lose to a foreigner who also just doesn't even know who he is. Yeah, MMA King, Emmanuel Showdown, they come out of the gates and they are so fast. Emmanuel just gets to the ball just like a second quicker out of the gate. And MMA, they're just like on the ground grappling the whole time.
And it's hard to know if MMA King knew how strong Emmanuel was. Because, you know, when you're a bodybuilder, a lot of people are underestimated, especially on this show. Because they're like, oh, you just know how to like lift weights. But he was shocked at how he was able to
counter move him.
So he was a worthy opponent. I thought that was really cool. I think what is really interesting about this show is when you take the tactic of finding somebody who is a worthy opponent versus someone who's weaker than you, then it sort of dilutes the show as the show progresses. Because then you have like weak players against really strong players. But if somebody like MMA King went against, let's say, that really big guy or somebody that a woman, as unfair as that would be, I would feel like, well, then now we have a really worthy challenge as we start to get into the later episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, I don't know, evolution in a nutshell.
It totally is.
Right? Because it's always the strongest that go after each other to prove their alpha to the crowd. And then so you actually end up taking out another strong person and actually weaker people end up staying. We see it in the team games, too.
Yeah, I know. That was devastating for me.
That was tough. Anyway, so we finish off with MMA King and Emmanuel. Really, MMA King has to use all his strength against him. Last minute, he ends up eking it out and taking the ball away, and Emmanuel has to go home. MMA King is a little too celebratory.
He jumps on top of the cage. He's doing all these poses. He himself was embarrassed afterwards.
I think he should be. He barely beat a fitness model. But I feel like his ego needed this one. There's a lot of egos in this
There's
room.
There's a lot. And a lot of these guys are retired. Like, the older guys are retired guys. And so they need this boost to feel like, I still got it. Yeah. I'm 43 years old, but I still got it.
He must have a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he is the most celebrated person in this room. He must feel a lot of pressure to keep, to win. Next up, we have a
Hwang Chan-sup versus Kim Min-su.
So one is a serum idol.
That's how they spell it. I was very confused for a split second what you were trying to say. I thought you said semen. No, you were saying serum, which is the word for wrestling. But like real wrestling, not like the WWE guy from last episode. That's Chan-sup.
I looked it up. It's serum is Korean folk wrestling style. So they take...
Kind of like the Japanese sumo wrestling.
But it seems like they take this belt and wrap it around the waist and wrap it around the thigh. And you use that to try to get them to the ground. Oh. It's like how the girls played it in Singles Inferno season 2.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that was a folk wrestling.
Yeah, it's been around since the 4th century, they say.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Min-su is Thanos.
Is Thanos, yeah. So the Shidam idol wanted to prove himself to everyone. So he picks Thanos, the literal biggest guy in the room. What a freaking fool.
But again, the psychology behind this is really interesting because, well, maybe he underestimated Thanos because he's like,
he's just a bag of muscles.
Yeah, even Thanos himself said, I know people think these are balloon muscles.
But Thanos came out. He is fast.
He is so fast.
He's so strong. It looked like the ball was crushed and
they
had no air.
They said it was flattened afterwards. It turns out he was a rugby player previously. So he's much quicker than he looks.
Yeah. No, that was not even a challenge. Next, we see a woman's match. It's the wushu athlete against the weightlifting athlete.
Yeah. And they're both little shorties.
Little shorties.
5'1" versus 4'9".
Yeah. So wushu athlete chooses the weightlifting lady because they're both short. She went for the shortest.
Yeah, it's like that saying, go pick on somebody your own size.
Right. Wushu, so little known, but there's a lot of different martial arts being represented in this crew.
Right.
And wushu is actually just another name for kung fu. Like what we know as like Bruce Lee kung fu. Yeah. So it integrates like concepts and forms of traditional and modern Chinese martial art.
So I thought wushu was almost like a dance, kind of like a Tai Chi thing.
Both are so strong, but I think wushu may have thought weightlifter wasn't maybe as agile or didn't have the grappling moves she would have. Yeah.
Again, there seems to be a real bias against weightlifters and bodybuilders in this competition.
But they're really proving themselves. This weightlifter, she's shown in her regular life doing the big three, squat, 135 kilograms.
Which is almost 300 pounds.
Right.
And that's crazy for somebody who's 4'9".
Deadlift, 135 kilograms. And I had incline bench, 60 kilograms. So she says she can do 330 kilograms total, which is 727 pounds.
That's it. And it's shocking because she's not huge.
No. And she even flexes her muscles. I was like, yeah, those are, you know,
cute.
Commendable. Yeah.
I mean, okay, but then this match was incredible because they had so much rage in both of them. And I was like, you know what? As a fellow shorty, I get it. We're just enraged at how much disrespect we get in the world. And so like it just comes out when you're in the cage.
Two little Napoleons.
Right.
This was, I thought, the best match of everything.
Oh my gosh.
We got a double overtime. Yeah. Double Moshida.
Excuse me?
What are they saying when they're, oh, you're so cool.
Moshiso?
Moshiso, but they go Moshita.
Moshita.
Moshita. They weight lifting fairy makes it through. Our next big match is the judo legend, Yi Won Hee. He's an Olympic gold medalist, which is so impressive.
Yeah, and he has blondish hair?
Yeah, yeah. Right? I guess he's a Korean legend. Like everybody, you know, second to MMA King, I think there is a lot of deference for this man as well.
He's now the head coach of the Women's Olympic Judo team. So
That's amazing.
And I looked him up. He has been married to a golfer.
Okay.
And now married to a tennis table player. So he's really into athletes.
So he gets chosen by a man from the karate national team.
Park Hee-jun.
I love the reasoning of the karate national team guy.
Yes.
I mean, he's young, right? And he's basically like, what chance you ever get to go up against a gold medalist?
Right. This guy looked around the room. He's like, I'm definitely not winning this. So let me.
Let's go out in a blaze of glory here.
I have so much respect for this. And actually the judo guy, he was like, oh, I knew he was a real man is what he said. But I think when you feel confident in yourself and you want to challenge yourself, there's something really attractive about that. Even if you know you're going to lose.
They run in. Judo is just taking his time coming in.
Yes. Oh, well, what happens is actually the Karate Kid runs in and grabs the ball and then sees the judo guy bowing to him. And then he realized, oh, okay, we're going to do this the right way.
Yeah, like, this is legit.
I got to be deferential. And like, I got to respect this guy. Mm-hmm. And then they just start to grapple. Like the ball is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. It's not quite judo like we saw in Marry My Husband. It is a lot more intense. Not just take him by the collar and flip him over.
That's right. There's no zip ties that they're learning to break.
Yeah. It's much more intense. I mean, karate has no chance from the start. I mean, yep. He should have just drop kicked him when he had the chance. He should have just hi-yahed him, you know?
Well, and then also the judo guy actually said he had a weak knee or something, right? Remember he was doing the running. He's like, yeah, my knee was hurting, so I kind of slowed down.
Hi-yah.
Yeah,
hi-yah. Hi-yah that knee, you know?
But yeah. Wax on, wax off.
Love the Karate Kid. He's just no regrets.
You know what else is really cool about this show is many of the contestants don't talk shit about the other contestants. Mm-hmm. You know, even when they're going one-on-one, they'll be like, I did my best, or that guy was really strong, or that girl was really strong. And I feel like if this was an American show, they would just be talking so much shit about each other and like how one is going to outdo the other. And so I feel like there's a lot of respect that they show.
They're also, you know, seemingly all on a reality show circuit together.
Yes, right.
And they're all like
a reputation.
Right. And they're all YouTubers trying to, you know, gain followers. So you can't be the dick.
Yeah.
I don't think these shows in Korea like villains in reality shows as much as Americans love a villain.
Yeah.
In American reality show, contestants actually play up villainy.
Yep.
Where I think in Korean shows, they don't. I don't think villains are accepted as much.
I think Korean netizens can cancel you so quickly. This new thing with Han So-hee and Ryu Jeon-yeol, have you seen it?
I know.
He was dating this girl from Reply 1988, I think.
Yeah, Hedi.
That's my Korean name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hedi. And they were like a well-known couple for years. And of course, when you break up, you're not like out there announcing it to the world. But anyway, it's been so messy.
So now Han So-hee is confirmed dating Ryu Jeon-yeol.
Yeah.
Hyeri went on her Instagram and was basically insinuating there was overlap. And then Han So-hee's like, I like the show Exchange, but this isn't transit
That's
love.
Right. That's
what
right.
are these terms?
I mean, the girl really put it out there. They have gone after Han So-hee for this.
Ugh.
They're saying, oh, Han So-hee's a homewrecker. And they've had to like come out and make statements. And it's like,
enough.
You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
Go live your own life. But I think everyone is on these reality shows very afraid of their image being ruined by saying anything negative. They don't say it on camera like you would if you were in the US.
Right. I mean, just look at the Vanderpump guys. Like those three.
Yeah, they've been cheating so openly.
And they're just more famous for it.
Yeah. She's lost an advertisement already because of this.
Yeah. Ryu Jeon-yeol, the guy.
Yeah.
I'm just butchering. That is a very hard name for a non-Korean.
Ryu Jeon-yeol is a very hard name to say.
He, I think, is in a drama that's coming out on Netflix that I was interested in. And so it'll be interesting to see how that
affects. They're not going to cancel him. They're going to cancel her because that's
know.
What they do.
How did we get here?
Well, I was just saying that these people are very respectful of each other. And that's nice to see.
It is nice to see. The last highlighted one-on-one match that we see is Yi Jae-yoon. He's an actor, but he's also a jiu-jitsu brown belt. He is so handsome. I find him very handsome. Yeah. And what a bod.
His bod is pretty insane.
What a bod.
And then he goes up against Kim Nam-wook, who is just a bodybuilder.
A classic bodybuilder. These two amateur athletes are freaking strong. It's so impressive to me. Like, I get that the national team athletes are going to be obviously the top of their game, but this actor guy is just a jiu-jitsu guy.
And he likes to work out.
Bodybuilder, I mean, can't even lift this actor jiu-jitsu. He is on the ground just hugging that ball tight. It's very close, again, between these two, but actor comes out on top. The bodybuilder, he's like smashing his plaster torso. He says, I love my body so much. It hurts him to hammer his plaster torso.
You know, you gotta love your body if you are gonna be doing that and getting a G-string out on the stage.
Truly. So that was episode 3. I'm done with the one-on-one matches.
Seriously. I appreciated how quickly they got through some of these, but they needed to speed it up a little bit.
I know. It's so hard because they have so many matches. So episode 4, we've now cleared out half of the contestants. Feels good to move on to something new. We've got a new challenge. It's a team game.
Before we get there, though, I love it when they go to the common area and it's just protein jars all over the walls. Like, this must be their heaven.
They make it look like a room of antiquities.
Yeah, exactly.
It's each one is like a vase vintage, from the Ming Dynasty, and it's like beautifully lit. Like, no, it's just a tub of protein
or
powder.
Chicken breast that's been dehydrated and made into a powder.
It's like going to the National Air and Space Museum and getting dehydrated ice cream. You know, that's so special when you're a kid. It's this dehydrated chicken breast from Physical
One. I'm sure that would fly off the shelves. That's special for these guys.
Yeah. So the forming of teams always makes me kind of nervous because now it's really like a popularity contest.
It's such a popularity contest. And then to be left at the end. And
it's always the women.
It's always the women at the end, which really breaks my heart.
I know. But they know. They expect it. Yeah. And the show does a very good job of not showing who got chosen last. Mm-hmm. Which again, another American show would have shown who is top dog and who is on the bottom, and they didn't do it here. Everyone in the room, all 50 people, are allowed to vote for their top three.
I mean, there we go. Popularity contest, right?
Contest to make it as a team leader. No one is surprised that MMA King is chosen
first.
He gets the most votes. Number two
is our season one contestant, Hong Pomsok,
the returning firefighter. We see less of him in this episode, I'm happy.
Me too. I kind of had enough of him.
I don't need your weird manic obsession.
Yes,
about the show.
I've lost any interest and respect for you.
Yeah. Number three, we get Amati.
Aw, love him.
I know, love him. He's our CrossFitter. We have Yi Won Hee, the judo master. We've got
Chung Chi Won, who was, I think, a gold medalist for wrestling in the Olympics.
We've got Thanos. Mm-hmm. We've got Yi Jae Yoon, the actor. We've got Andre Jin, the rugby player.
Yep.
We've got our heavy equipment CEO.
Hwang Chung-won. He reminds me of somebody who's on the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, because he always wears that bandana on his head? We've got one last guy.
Yi Chang-gun, who's the kabaddi guy. And his name Chang-gun, that means general in Korean. And like, there, for whatever reason, there's a lot of respect for generals. So if you remember Marry My Husband, when Soo-min was pregnant, she would always be like, our little Chang-gun, our little general.
No women are chosen.
Nope.
Out of 10, nobody. This is an interesting way to set up the teams because now you can't have it overly stacked because none of the top guys are going to be on the same team together.
Yeah.
However, now you're also kicking off half of the best.
That's why this was really hard to watch when we got to the team matches, because some of the really top guys were eliminated.
MMA King is so cute because he's just this ball of anxiety.
I know. He's like, oh, I don't know how to make these decisions.
He's going up to people asking how much they weigh, what they do. Do you like long walks on the beach? Yeah. He picks his team. He does not pick a woman. I lost a little respect for him. But if you're number one, I guess you don't have to go.
Because he had first pick, right?
Yeah. And they don't do the thing where you like get first pick, you go down to 10, and then 10 gets first pick, and then you go back up. They like go in the order of 1 to 10, 1 to 10.
Which I think is unfair.
That's so unfair. Amati picks the rower. Did you notice the rower this time? This is the guy I said was handsome last time.
Yeah, I know, because you talked about him last time. I looked him up, and I didn't see the gold chain, but yeah, I noticed him. He was fine. Actually, now I got to go look him up again because I don't remember what he looks like. Oh, Kim Ji-hyuk.
Right? That's right. He has the same name as Hunky GM from Marry My Husband.
We should just call him Hunky Rower.
Andre Jin picks a woman. He chooses the national swimmer. The heavy equipment CEO, I loved that he went out and picked Yuri, the
MMA fighter.
Yeah. And he picked her third.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a lot of men left on the floor, and he went up for her because he knew she's the strongest woman and he wanted her.
Oh, love that.
But love that. And then judo guy, he says his team was forged on fighting spirit and agility. He goes after a lot of other judo players.
That's right. I don't know if that is the smartest move, though, right? Because if you have everybody who has a similar skill set, there's going to be so many challenges that are going to require other skills that maybe he may be at a disadvantage.
Right.
But he's all about loyalty, yes. I think.
I think he's more about discipline and principle.
Yeah.
Which you got to respect that.
Yeah, I respect it.
So quest number two. How is this only quest number two? It feels like we've done so much already.
This dragged a little bit for me.
Yes. It was a lot of yelling in a dark room.
Yeah, I couldn't.
You can't see anything.
I don't know if it was my brightness level, but I was like, I can't see what's happening. They don't identify in English who's
team it is. I can't tell who's blue and red.
Yeah, so yeah. I had to pause and I'm like,
very frantic. It was frantic. A maze challenge. These teams are up against each other and they have to find their way through a maze to bring bags of sand to different zones. So there's actually a lot of strategy involved.
There was a similar challenge in season one, but not the maze part, right?
Right. It was just a bridge, but you had to build the bridge.
Yeah.
How many zones do you focus on? Who do you send to which zone?
Yeah.
And do you go after just sand into zones or do you try to find these very well hidden?
Well, okay. So did you notice though, they did that in the first challenge and then the subsequent challenges nobody either they just did not focus on the heavy thing or do you think they got rid of it?
No, they're there, but I think strategically,
they just decided we're not going to go for it
because it's a waste of time
to find it.
Three main strategies bubbled up. The first one we see is judo legend versus heavy equipment CEO. Judo legend is very clear in his plan with his team. Mm-hmm. He's like, we're working on two zones, that's it.
Yeah,
we're not going after these hidden treasures.
Yep. And just completely ignore the lasso.
It does get very close. Oh, it's so frantic. I don't know what's going on.
But you know, this was the only challenge where neither team attacked each other.
Yes. It was very respectful.
Yeah.
Right. Because the rule is that you can't take sand from somebody else's bin and put it in yours. But after 5 minutes, once the flags go up, it's just a free for all of you can steal and block. So judo legends team comes out on top. Heavy equipment CEO, I think maybe wasn't as smart about his strategy, wasn't paying attention. The team came down.
And, you know, we've mentioned this a few times, I think when we were recapping Devil's Plan, but Koreans love to advertise when they have a high EQ. And apparently this guy has tested at a 148. And so
judo legend.
Judo legend. And so his protege, the female, was like, yes, your 148 IQ really, like, you showed it off. I was like, whoever, do you know what your IQ is? I don't.
No. But I'm surprised she's not like, oh, you're an ISTP. That's why we're number one.
Or she wasn't like, you're a blood type O. And so we.
No wonder. The next maze match we've got is MMA King versus Amati. When I saw these two come out, I was so bummed because these two are such strong players. Now you know one of them is going
to
be out.
I did not want this to be the match because, I really like Amati and he would have, I think, could have won the entire competition. But such is
this competition. Yep. MMA King, to his credit, seems very strategic. He seems very clear about how he wants to do things. Amati doesn't seem to have much of a strategy, but, you know, at the 5 minutes, his team has two flags up. And MMA King, seeing that he's losing, straight up goes brute force.
Brute force. He starts dragging people on the floor.
And he has a weightlifter blocking one of the zones.
Yeah.
So he's dragging sand from people. I mean, you hear them being like, no, please, let's go, don't do this.
Even in this, though, they were so respectful. And I heard one of them say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's like, oh, are you okay? I know. It was hard to watch.
It was.
Getting robbed.
I didn't love that rule. I would have rather that it would have been about strategy and it would have been about strength. This just felt kind of.
It felt mercenary.
Yeah.
It felt low.
It felt low.
It felt low. It's sad to watch Amadi and my favorite rower. I mean, how can they compete against MMA fighter? They can't. So brute strength wins this one. The strategy here, right before we had Judo Legend, it was about diligence and sticking to his plan. This one's just brute strength wins. It didn't feel great. Mm-hmm. We have to say goodbye to Amadi, your favorite, and rower, my favorite. Both of whom I think could have gone really far.
Yeah.
And then the last match we see is returning firefighter
Hong Bomsok
versus the 10th team.
Yi Changgun Kabaddi.
What's Kabaddi?
Remember the Indian tag?
Yes, Indian tag.
Well, and it goes to show playing tag doesn't require a whole lot of strategy either, because this guy had no idea how to lead the team.
No, he's definitely maybe the BTS of India, but yeah. He is not team captain.
I want to know what his IQ is.
Seriously. So yeah, he doesn't make a decision in time. They straight up don't have a plan.
And then the worst is when you have too many people with strong opinions. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to take in everyone's opinion. He needed to be able to be like, this is what we're doing. Yeah. And I don't care what you say.
Right. They all just kind of scatter like mice when the game starts.
Yeah.
What I do think is good is that they do adjust.
Yeah. The pivoting was smart, because once they realized one zone needed more, they all moved there.
So at minute 5, actually, Kabaddi's team is ahead and the firefighter's team is down. Thinking on his feet, just like the other team, firefighter also switch it up.
That's
and then they go in all on one zone.
All 5 of them.
Yeah.
The scale starts to move and then they start to tussle.
Yes. Like right at the end, they start stealing and grappling too.
That was a great way to end. My son was watching with me. He's like, well, and then who wins? I was like, there's no more episodes. I don't know. The cliffhanger.
So close. Love this cliffhanger. But this strategy was thinking on your feet.
Yep.
So very different ways and approaches that all of these teams are going about this same game.
You know, this is kind of a stretch, but when we were first thinking about where to send our son for kindergarten, I was considering academics versus emotional social development. And I was having this debate with my husband and also internally about what I value. And I feel like academics, you know, like being smart really only takes you so far. I guess, you know, depending on what kind of industry you end up in. But at the end of the day, if you don't know how to be strategic and talk to people and like assess people, you really hit a ceiling in your career. Mm-hmm. You know, and you see that a lot of times with engineers. Like they're very good at like doing the manual like work, but they don't know how to work with people. You don't know how to maneuver situations.
You're not leaders.
Yeah. Then you don't get past the 4th episode.
Yeah, it's so true. And I'm glad you made the decision to come to our school, which is less academic, but we know very social.
That's right.
Okay, that was episodes 3 and 4. We ended on a great cliffhanger. We're excited to see what happens between the firefighter team and the Kabaddi team. It looks like a nail biter. I think it's firefighter's team, even though I hate to say it because
I kind of just want him to leave
over that guy
because I want him to be humiliated again.
Oh jeez, so sad.
Does watching this make you want to work out?
You would think so. I do have tons of respect for these guys though. Yeah. Does it make you want to work out?
Yeah, I saw your friend yesterday and she said that she saw a few minutes of it and she's like, I just wanted to like go exercise. And I was like, yeah, me too. I don't think Leanne wanted to after.
I don't know what it's going to take for me to get back into exercise mode.
Maybe you just need a rower trainer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe I just need a hot trainer. I'm a very goal-oriented person in terms of I need, like, I'm deadline-driven.
Should we do, like, a competition?
Yeah, we could do a competition. I don't want it to be about weight loss.
Yeah, not weight loss, but, like,
we could do
working
like
out a certain number of days or something, you know?
Like
you're like, oh, yeah, I did 5 minutes.
Yeah, we could do steps.
The walking pad is supposed to be very good too.
I'm basically to get through my day of just back-to-back meetings. I have to just eat cookies to survive.
There you go. You know, we all have our survival methods.
So I guess maybe instead of cookies, I can
walk in
place.
You can do cookies while you're walking.
I mean, we do have a standing desk, so I could do this. Okay, fine. So should we make a steps challenge?
Let's do a steps challenge. I think that'd be fun. If you want to join us.
Yeah. We can start posting up our steps week after week and see who's following us on a leaderboard.
Okay, well, we'll mull on this. Next week, we'll come back with our personal challenge.
Yes.
And you can join us.
Yes.
All of you out there.
Something good will come out of this binge watch. So that was episodes 3 and 4. We are losing people left and right. We're losing people before we even get to know them. We'll be back next week.
I'm sure this is going to jumpstart their entertainment careers.
It'll be great.
I hope Amadi gets in a drama, or maybe he'll be on the panel of a reality show.
We have episodes 5 and 6 next week. Can't wait to recap with you guys. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.